know herbal pharmacology is a harder one to start with. When you're thinking about the material you want to deliver, especially for people that are studying at home, because it's a bit tedious. It's getting down into the difference between, you know, flavones and flavanols and saponins and saponin glycosides and aglycones. And part of the reason that we have to start with this is because it will lay the foundation for when we're talking about herbal preparations and when we get into all of the herbal actions. So it's difficult to have a conversation around saponin glycoside expectorants if you don't understand what a saponin glycoside is or why some of these act as such potent stimulating expectorants versus a relaxing expectorant. So this herbal pharmacology class, this early introduction, has a lot of material in it. I think you'll find it interesting. There's a lot that you'll recognize from conventional medicine and conventional drugs. But what I want you to keep in mind is just take your time, go through it, sit back with it, and be very clear that we're going to come back and revisit this stuff over and over and over and over again throughout the entire Foundations program. So as we talk about cardioactive glycosides, for instance, and we're talking about Lily of the Valley, well, when we get to the cardiology, we're going to go into this in much more detail. We'll draw a picture of a heart and look about exactly how they're acting at the heart muscle and their chronotropic and inotropic effects and explain what all that means, et cetera. You don't have to get all that today. What I want you to try to understand from going through this module, this part of the course, is the broad concepts and some of the key constituents or key prototypical herbs that make up these categories. For instance, the tropane alkaloids. You're not going to use a lot of the tropane alkaloids because I don't see most people in the Foundations program going out and collecting henbane or prescribing belladonna. But it is important to understand what the tropane alkaloids are and what they do, so that you also then have an understanding about, you know, some of the actions of other anticholinergic substances. So the long and short of this introduction is sit back and relax. This is all going to make more and more sense as you move through. But just like when you were a little kid and you didn't understand how pulling yourself up maybe, you know, on the table or up on the couch was going to ever let you run across the field, it's the same type of thing. This is the foundation. It'll continue to build on itself so that as we move through the herbal actions, we move through the herbal preparations, and I throw out words to you. This is the aglycone, or this is a tannin-rich plant. So how much alcohol are we going to use? And if we're going to mix it with an alkaloid, rich plant, what do we have to add to this tincture to make sure we don't get precipitation? All of that will make sense to you. Okay? So anyway, I hope you sit back, get your notebook out, because you're going to need to take a lot of notes, and just enjoy this first part of the program. And if you get lost at any point, remember when we're doing our, you know, our webinars and our doing our chats, our email chats, you can always ask questions. But I just want you to be clear that I'm not expecting you to have all this memorized and known by the end of this first section, because this really is just very foundational material. So one of the important things that we need to talk about in herbal medicine, but only as it really relates to, you know, how we as herbalists are going to use the plants, is a discussion around herbal pharmacology. And you know, it's interesting that, you know, pharmacology is essentially the study of how different compounds interact with biological systems, with living systems. And plants have certainly made up the vast amount of our materia medica since the beginning of time. I find a few things very fascinating. One is that in food, we have no problem that foods are very complex. And we talk about the fact that you can't get everything you need in a multivitamin, right? Because it doesn't have everything that you could find in fruits and vegetables. And I agree. There was a study done that actually showed that vitamin C was more absorbable and bioavailable when taken within a citrus complex than ascorbic acid when it was taken alone, right? So vitamin C can be very effective for you if you just take vitamin C. But its bioavailability and its activity is enhanced when it is consumed as part of the complex of the citrus fruit, of the orange or the lemon or the lime. Now, we don't seem to have any problem with that. We say that there's probably more going on in that food than simply the vitamins and minerals. So then we would probably go on to say, well, there's carbohydrates and lipids and proteins, these macronutrients that are very important for human life. And that they're also very important parts of the food. So these are the primary constituents or the primary metabolites that are found in foods. You've got obviously your vitamins and minerals, but then you have your primary metabolites, all of your enzymes, but then your macronutrients as well. So when we're talking about a food substance, we're talking about a whole array of things that we believe are vital for human health. But what we don't talk about in foods are all of the secondary metabolites. And we often have, in the past, sort of looked at these as being waste products because they're not necessary for the plant to survive. So the primary metabolites are necessary to sustain the life of the plant. Secondary metabolites are not. So we've thought that these secondary metabolites really had no real beneficial effect for human beings or for other living creatures or even to the plant itself, other than just being sort of byproducts of different amino acid productions, et cetera. I think that most pharmacologists and pharmacognosists specifically would say that it's the secondary metabolites that seem to account for much of the therapeutic benefit that we see when we look at plants. And we're going to focus on many of these today. These secondary metabolites are, you know, the things like alkaloids and glycosides and glucosinolates and all of these sort of secondary metabolites that are produced by the plant. And not just plant. Alkaloids, as you know, can also be produced by frogs and butterflies and other insects. But we're focusing primarily on plants today, and these secondary metabolites are what really have much of the therapeutic benefit that we see when we use a plant. We're going to go through a lot of these. I don't want you to become an expert in what are alkaloids and glycosides, but you do have to have an appreciation for what they are, and so that you recognize these constituents when you see them in a plant. It also, I think, can help you understand why a plant may do a certain thing that it does. And in the case of preparations, when we get to where we're doing our herbal preparations and making things like tinctures, if something's a very alkaloid-rich plant and you're going to mix it with a tannin-rich plant, if you don't add vegetable glycerin to it, your alkaloids will all precipitate out. So there is a benefit to knowing about these constituents and these archetypes, these secondary metabolites, for also to improve your ability to make your medicines from them. The other thing I would say is I think that there's been some very interesting research and hypotheses that suggest that many of these enzymes and substances, these secondary metabolites that are made by plants, that they share a common ancestry with the enzymes that are produced within mammals. And this may be part of how we explain this intertwining or this deep kinship that exists between plants and mammalian life. You will see today that as we go through many of the things like alkaloids, you're going to see that many of them actually mimic sex hormones, they mimic corticosteroids, they mimic neurotransmitters in the body, they mimic things within us even though they exist within a plant. And this may be why, because we share a common ancestry through the secondary metabolites where we have similar structures and some of these enzymes may have sort of given rise through plants and animals, why we have such a relationship with the plants, not only for their food, but also for medicine. Before I go on to just sort of dive now deeply into these discussions of the different archetypes or plant constituents, plant compounds, I would also just like to say, one of the things I just was teaching recently, and one of the fellows said, well, but why would you use the whole plant when you could, you know, if you find the active compound, you could just take the active. You wouldn't have to use this whole plant or the whole root where it may have, you know, 100 different things in it. And, you know, wouldn't it be better just to use the purified, isolated constituent? I think there may be cases when that's true. Clearly, most of the modern research that's being conducted today on plants is primarily looking for an active constituent and then the ability to synthesize and make that one compound. And we're not really looking at, you know, using galenical preparations, you know, tinctures or teas or syrups or medicated honeys. We're looking for purified, isolated compounds. I think it would be... you know, there are very few companies that actually know how to deal with the raw material from Catharanthus roseus. Very few companies that could take that plant and know, you know, identify it, make sure they've got the right plant, the right genus, the right species, and then know how to extract vinblastine and vincristine, two drugs. These are alkaloids that are used as drugs today in cancer therapy. So few companies would know how to use the raw material, few pharmacists would know how to identify it, and fewer physicians probably even know where it comes from. This ability to sort of go from the complex to the purified has been the whole purpose of modern drug development. And I do think there's some benefit and there's some uses. However, I want to step back to what I argued about just a moment or discussed a moment ago about food and complexity. We all seem to feel like it's perfectly natural to say that people should not rely on synthetic, purified, isolated vitamins and minerals, or that you should just get an isolated protein or fat and that should make up your entire diet. We talk about the complexity of food and that you can't reproduce it when you just put it in a single pill as an isolated substance. That's just commonplace. Everybody argues for that. Well, life is complex. Plants are complex. Food is complex. I would argue that medicine also has probably beneficial effects when it's taken in its complex form as well. This synergy or this notion that the plant, when it's all taken together, all of the compounds together, that it actually can achieve a greater effect than the mathematical sum of its parts, right? That's that whole notion of what synergy is. So I don't want you to get lost when I'm starting to talk about these alkaloids and glycosides, because very much I'm going to talk about berberine and morphine and codeine and, you know, all the different compounds. Many of these have been made into drugs. But long before people were able to isolate these alkaloids, human beings used them in almost the same exact way we're using them today in modern medicine, and they did so in their raw and crude form. So I just want to set the stage for that, because you know, as you know, I believe that herbal medicine is effective. I believe that it offers often a safer option to highly purified, isolated drugs. I also think that it is a lower cost alternative to many of the medications that we're relying on today. And I think that you know, even though certain plants have fallen in and out of favor over time, there are many that have sort of stood the test of time, and you'll see those today as we go through these different constituents. So again, the pharmacology, a lot of this is going to get deep down into the weeds. I promise we're going to bring it back out. You'll recognize many of the plants we're talking about, and this is really important for you to understand how plants work. And also, when we get into our preparations, different key aspects for how you're going to prepare the plant so that you'll get the most effective medicine you possibly can.